While the year is still new, we thought we'd review the unmitigated string of bad news stories about the newspaper industry in 2006. Over the past 2 years, newspaper stocks lost 20% of their value. That's $13.5 billion up in smoke, more than the value of the Tribune Company, owner of 11 daily papers, including the Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times. Downsizing is everywhere, from wholesale layoffs at the Philadelphia Inquirer to the physical trimming down of the Wall Street Journal's famously broad broadsheet. And questions remain how long there will be any newspaper in the newspaper business. We asked Dan Gretsch with the daily business show Marketplace to survey the year past and predict what's to come.
In 2006, newspapers themselves were big news. And as industry expert Dan Gilmore points out, it was all bad news.
The demolition of the classified advertising model, the sale of Knight Ridder for the low end of what anyone had expected, the imploding stock prices, the pretty dramatic drop in circulation, the fact that people in their 20s and younger, for the most part, never pick up a newspaper. They hardly know what it is.
Add to that the job cuts, the rising price of paper and ink, the gutting of the Philadelphia Inquirer, and the Los Angeles Times on the auction block, and the fact that the Wall Street Journal started printing ads on page one. But probably the least covered newspaper story last year was the toll all this bad news was taking on ink-stained wretches everywhere.
People should be nervous.
Jim Vandehei is the former national political correspondent at The Washington Post.
Newspapers are losing big chunks of their readership. Their ad revenue is shrinking, and a lot of them have been slow to adapt to the new journalism world order, which is web first. And that should cause a lot of anxiety. And then you look around and you see people, you know, selling the Minneapolis paper for, you know, half of what the folks bought it for 8 years ago.
The deal for the Minneapolis Star Tribune was particularly scary. That was last month when McClatchy sold its former flagship paper to a partnership of former investment bankers from New York. It was the first time a private equity firm bought a major daily paper. Private equity firms have a frightening reputation. They're known to gut companies to increase profits, then resell the companies after a few years.
I'm Jim Rutherford. I'm executive vice president of Verona Sewell & Stevenson.
That's a Manhattan private equity firm that specializes in buying media companies. Rutherford argues that private equity firms may be better owners than public newspaper companies.
If you're a private equity owner and you've totally gutted the business and there's nothing left, nobody's going to buy it from you.
Equity firms like his are freed from Wall Street's demand for rising quarterly profits. Instead, they work on five-year time frames. Rutherford says that gives their papers more time to adapt to the new media landscape while preserving the quality of their journalism.
Are there instances where costs are cut? Yes. But again, you're not going to succeed in the long term if that's all that happens.
Some say newspapers are due for a comeuppance. For years, they've been monopoly businesses, bilking advertisers, creating mediocre content, and raking in huge profits. So even as their bottom line eroded, newspaper executives remained resistant to change, as were their reporters, who've seen their own monopoly on the news erode as well.
Newsroom cultures are one of the most defensive cultures there are.
Eric Newton's a vice president at the Knight Foundation, a grant-giving nonprofit that outlived its namesake corporation, the Knight Ridder newspaper chain.
You've got hospital emergency rooms, you've got the military, you've got nuclear power plants, and you've got newsrooms. Three of those are life and death operations, and one of them just thinks it is.
Newspapers themselves face a life and death situation. The scariest endgame is what's called the death spiral. Newspapers continue to lose readers, which drives away advertisers, which cuts into revenue. That forces job cuts, which erodes the quality of the paper, which chases away more readers and advertisers on and on until the paper collapses. As reporters recognize the dire situation, their defensiveness has given way to fear. Investment banker Robert Garrett is with Ad Media Partners. He says that fear is slowly turning into a willingness to try something new.
What we're talking about today is radically different than we would have talked about 12 months ago. Yes, there's an oh my God here. What are we going to do? A realization that something must be done.
So what can be done? Jim Vandehei, the Washington Post reporter, has one answer. He and editor John Harris left the Post to start a political news website called The Politico. It goes live on January 23rd. the day of President Bush's State of the Union address.
I laugh because I think about like bringing people over here, and I'm like, well, is this a risky venture? What would happen if it didn't work, and like, how does that play in your conscience? And then I think, well, what if I let them stay at the LA Times? What if they stay at the Philadelphia Inquirer? What's riskier, staying there or coming here?
The truth is, no one in the newspaper industry is sure how to respond to the internet revolution. Michael Scholar is with American Public Media, my employer, at its Center for Innovation in Journalism.
There'll be an economic model. I'm not sure we're seeing it yet, but there will be one. The big question in my mind is, in this churning kind of media landscape, whether or not news organizations will retain the trust with the public. As newspapers in particular try to cut staff in order to get better profit margins, and they're doing less of a good job at reporting in their communities, if the trust between them and the readers breaks, they won't have anything to bring to a new economic model when they find it.
Newspapers are entering a brave new world where the old model has to be abandoned, but a new one is still over the horizon. The Knight Foundation's Eric Newton.
50 years from now, we'll look back on this as the Wild West period and the crazy pioneering era in which nobody knew what was going to happen and everything seemed possible and opportunity flowed from every street corner. It is a wildly exciting time as long as you're not pining for what was.
The biggest names on the internet are entering the industry. Yahoo and Google are now working with papers to sell ads. But strangely enough, Newton says the company in the best position for this new era is the world's oldest news-gathering operation. It's a not-for-profit with 3,700 employees and 240 bureaus worldwide. And most importantly, it doesn't use paper. If Eric Newton were a betting man, he'd put his money on the Associated Press. For On the Media, I'm Dan Gretsch.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Alicia Rebensdorf, and Michael McLaughlin. Dylan Keefe is our technical director, and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Brooke Gladstone is our managing editor. Bassist-composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast, as well as our newsletter, at onthemedia.org. And email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Beth Fertig.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Beidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.